Welcome to Voice Rising with Kara Johnstad. Enjoy weekly conversations with leading luminaries, pioneering visionaries, singers, poets, musicians, and sound healers as we explore the profound role our voice plays on the path to self-realization and global enlightenment. The internationally acclaimed singer, composer, author, healer, recording artist, voice expert, creator of Voice Your Essence, and founder of the School of Voice, Kara Johnstad, uses her extraordinary spiritual gifts to empower others. Everything in this world vibrates. Everything has a frequency. A pioneer in the field of voice work and transformational songwriting. Her breakthrough methods are helping thousands of people worldwide fine-tune their body-mind-spirit system and unlock the energetic frequencies of limitless creativity, health, and abundance. Share your voice, ask your questions, join in the conversation. Receive life-changing, positive transformation and rise together to create a sound world. And here's your host, Kara Johnstad.
Hello, everybody. Welcome to Voice Rising. Today, I am delighted to have with me in studio the prolific singer-songwriter Tina Malia, a visionary musical artist. Tina expresses her radiant inner landscape through song, and her sonic creations span sacred chant, world, dream pop, and folk music genres. Tina is a beloved pioneer in a growing community of people around the world dedicated to residing in harmony with the earth and expressing it through art, health, education, and music. So welcome, Tina, and thank you so much for taking time to be with me today and to deepen the conversation on voice and vibrational healing.
Good morning. Good morning, everyone. Thanks so much for having me. Delighted to be here.
Good morning. So I want to start with a very, I hope it's an easy question before we continue to deepen this conversation, which I love so much, this conversation on sound consciousness and vibrational healing, high frequency wellness. Would you like to share with us something from your childhood, a memory? Which role did music play while you were a kid growing up? Was it a natural thing to be in that?
Music was my whole... music was my whole world as a child. My mother was a concert pianist. So I lived in and breathed music from the time I was in the womb, literally. My mom would practice the piano 7 hours a day when I was a baby. So actually, I love telling this story because it's my first memory on planet Earth is when I was a baby, I liked to be in my car seat. Which of course would make me a perfect candidate for a traveling musician for my whole life. So she would put me in my car seat underneath the grand piano. That was how I got babysat, and she would practice for hours and hours. So I would hear all these songs, and I still remember them in detail, note by note, these concertos that she would practice. But my first real memory of Earth is the piano starting to go out of tune. And I was getting so irritated by it. And I remember thinking, is somebody going to come tune this thing? So yes, music has always been my life. And then my mom started teaching me when I was pretty much old enough to talk and old enough to request it. And it was my first language. I learned how to read music. I was learning how to read and write and do everything else. So it's always just been my whole life.
But when you're performing, you actually perform a lot on the guitar, right? So you're fluent then also in piano. I'm sure you play harmonium.
Piano is my first instrument. Piano's my first instrument. Sorry, keep cutting you off. But, I learned classically, which if there's any classical musicians out there, it's quite a jump. Not for everyone, but for a lot of times it mentally is a jump to go from classical music on an instrument to writing free flow on that same instrument. Or it was for me. Maybe it's I can just hear the voice of my mother standing over me, but guitar, I just always found it a lot easier to just let this other exploratory part of me come out. So, and it's easier to carry a guitar and a piano around.
No, I love that because my mother was also a classical pianist prodigy, and my grandmother was also a classical pianist. And so I also remember building those forts. You know, we draped these big quilts over the piano, so that was kind of our hideaway, right? But at the same time, whenever we would play the classical pieces, you could hear from the kitchen someone saying, no, that's the fourth finger you need on the... But they knew exactly, if you weren't making your scales correctly, that you missed it, you know? And they could hear that from far away. So I now understand. That's very beautiful, this feeling of finding a fresh... maybe a fresh instrument to express that very deep, beautiful poetry that you have within. I was curious about that. So everybody on the path, it seems like everybody is longing to find work that makes their soul sing, and you definitely have found it. You are traveling, you are recording, you're a recording artist, you are a singer-songwriter. What was the turning point in your life when you realize that you want to dedicate your life to being a musician and being a songwriter?
Well, I kind of always knew I would do music. I remember being 11 and declaring to myself that I wanted to be a singer, and I just was clear about that. You know, I always have to include my mother in this conversation because she was just part and parcel of all of my musical training and everything that led up to that. She really wanted me to be a classical pianist, so I was very much being trained to do that. But I loved to sing. And my mother, who's passed now, she was from South Korea. So all the stories you hear are true about Korean parents and how they are with their kids, and how they make you practice hours and hours and hours per day, and it's very serious. So that was that side, and I would like to add, I was very grateful for that discipline and to have that level of training. But my father, who is American, much more laid back, much more kind of a hippie attitude. So he was the one I went to for a guitar, and he kind of, you know, helped me, encouraged me to sing and be a singer, and helped me with the, you know, school play and all my choral parts and everything like that. So I started to develop this love for singing, and there's just something about it, to have your instrument inside of you and to be able to express that instrument that way, through the feeling of that, is just, there's, for me, there's no other feeling like that on earth. It's the most euphoric thing besides mantra meditation that I can do. So I hooked onto that very young and declared that was what I wanted to do. I certainly did not set out to be on this path of doing, you know, quote, spiritual music or conscious music, or that was just part of my path as a human, that I didn't know it was going to go that direction, but that just coupled itself along with my musical journey. But I definitely knew I wanted to do music my whole life, and from very young.
So how do you do it nowadays? Are you a songwriter who writes it, wakes up at the dawn and has a certain writing practice, the morning pages, or you know, or are you one of those that just carries a moleskin or a journal around, and maybe the audio memo, and you're grabbing the inspiration when it comes? Is there a certain ritual you have with capturing the melodies and the songs?
Well, I will say, when I first started out as a songwriter, you know, in my teens, it just poured out. I just couldn't stop writing songs. And, you know, I'm now on my sixth album, and it definitely, I'm just starting my seventh. So it comes slower. Now I have to kind of, and now I'm on tour, and I find that it's hard for me to focus on two things at once. So when I'm on tour, I really focus on the tour. And so now I have to really take the time and kind of, you know, like back in the day when I had to lock myself in a room and practice for hours, now I have to do that with the same intention and just really stop all distractions. And I find that that river of the muse, of inspiration, is there, and it's always there. It's really just about stopping and being quiet and also looking for it. I have to actually sit down with my instruments with the intention to write, with the intention to find new avenues, you know, to find new inspiration, and then it comes. But I have to stop everything in order to do it, which is actually what I'm just about to start doing right this second, like tomorrow.
After this interview.
After the interview, everyone.
So one of my, you have many, many albums out there. Like you said, you're going into your seventh album. So I know the other six albums. And one of my very favorites is your Silent Awakening album. I found it very enchanting and poetic. And this is my curiosity as a fellow singer-songwriter and a singer. That album was full of a lot of poetry and a lot of original material that was really coming directly from the heart. You could say that, all the words. And now the last couple of albums, you've made space in your life also to honor the Sanskrit or the mantras and your other albums also had chants in other languages. I was just wondering, as such a talented poet, what your reasoning was behind that, or if you find yourself being drawn back to expressing your own truth in your own words. I guess I really so much enjoyed that album, and I love all the Om Shantis, but I also loved really what you wrote directly from your heart. Are you planning to do that on your seventh album?
I am. This next album will be another album in English. I live kind of in these dual worlds, so to speak, or in several. I mean, music, the creation of music, the language of music, the music itself is really what moves me. And so the words and the language, in a way, they all touch me similarly, you know, the Sanskrit, and not only the Sanskrit, the Gurmukhi, Hebrew, Spanish, all these different languages, they just have their different flavors, and they touch me very deeply in different ways. I have found the mantra chanting to be an incredibly effective tool. And I know a lot of people are very deeply in that world and use music in that way. And I also do. So I love to offer that space. And then I also know I have this whole other litany of fans that don't connect at all with mantra, and they really connect. You know, I have people just straight out say that to me, when are you going to stop with this mantra thing? You know, like, well, never, but I understand what you're saying. Like, I'm definitely also have a deep love for the poetry. I will say that is, I remember Sarah McLachlan saying that once in an interview, and it shocked me. She said that writing lyrics for her was like trying to squeeze water out of a stone. And I couldn't believe that she said that, because I always considered her poetry to be so prolific, and you just assumed that it was very easy for her. But similarly for me, that is a process that is, those songs, Silent Awakening, I wrote those over many years, you know. And the other thing about that album for me too is this, and this is something I don't admit very often, so, you know, I figured now's a great time.
No, yeah, do it.
There are so many things I said on the album, like Heal This Land, that album, for instance, that I feel like, how could I ever say that again? You know, like, I said really what I wanted to say as a human on planet Earth in that album. So it's hard to know how to, what you just have to completely let that go and come from a completely different angle to be able to find a new inspiration when you feel like you already said what you wanted to say. I don't know if that makes sense.
I think, there's a lot of essence. There's a lot of truth in that album. I think that is why it's such a timeless classic, the way it was produced, the sound, of course, your voice, you know, the instrumentation. It was a gem. It is a gem. And it's an album that we can play for many, 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 many years, right? So the thing also that is always a little bit frightening for all of us that are writing songs is we hear this beautiful song, Heal This Land, and then we feel that message and that call so clearly, and then we stand 10 years later and the lands are still not being attended to or healed. And I think there's also a great sadness in all of us when we realize that, you know, that we continue to meditate, we continue to chant, we continue to sing, we continue to work for the planet, and yet sometimes it's, you know, it's just a dedication that I guess we'll just have to continue. And I do feel the tides are changing, but I can understand that. And that's rare, I think, captured many, the essence of song in that album, and a nice merge between what we know as chant, Heal This Land. I think, you know, it's one longer verse that keeps on just repeating. So it was a nice form, I thought, of how we love chant, and at the same time with the poetry of a songwriter. For me, that was just a, yeah. Anyway, yes. So your latest albums, you are singing beautiful mantras and beautiful chants, and they're there to heal us and guide us back to wholeness. Have you found personal healing through through your life and of recording mantras, living mantras, singing mantras, your chanting practice? It is also a personal healing journey.
Absolutely. I started chanting mantra with a man who you may know, many of you probably do. His name is Jayutal. Mm-hmm. And he was one of the first Westerners that went to India along with Krishnadas and Ram Dass. And he met a man named Kroli Baba. And he, a saint, and that was kind of the introduction for a lot of people. And they brought that over to the West. So he's, you know, a huge influence on bringing this practice over to us Westerners. And I sang in his band when I was 18, I met him. And to make a very long story short, I was singing in his band, learning these mantras, and they were very beautiful. But I was going through a very deep personal crisis, truly going through the dark night of my soul, and felt very lost here on earth, so depressed. Depressed really isn't even the word for it. I like to say my cells felt like they were on fire, like every cell felt like it was burning and in so much suffering, and to the point where I was starting to plan how to end my life because I just couldn't take it anymore. I was 24, by the way. For no reason, I couldn't find meaning on earth. I knew it was here, and I already had, you know, put out these great albums, had all these beautiful friends, everything provided for me. So it wasn't that there was any lack external. In some ways, that almost made it worse because I really had so much, and yet I couldn't find my purpose. It wasn't even that I couldn't find my purpose, because I had purpose. I always knew what I wanted to do. It was this deep, deep aching loneliness that I couldn't shake, and that nothing was helping me at all. And so it just wouldn't go away. It wouldn't go away in months and months, all day, all night. And finally, Jai, my friend, came to me, and, you know, he saw me in this state of despair for quite a while. And he asked me, you know, he said, "Hey, Tina, have you ever tried doing Japa mantra?" And I said, "No, I don't know what that is." And he said, "It's really easy." And he had a mala. I'm sure all of you have seen, you know, these necklaces, these malas. And they're really a tool. They're beautiful, but they're really tools. And he said, "It's really easy. You put it in between your hands. And every time you pass a bead, you chant this mantra." And I chant the mantra Ram. That was what was given to me by my teacher. And it's just love. It just means God and love. And you're just calling out to the divine. and he said, you should maybe try it. It might help you. And so I started this practice with nothing else, with nothing to lose and nothing else to do. Because all of my books, everything I had done in the past, even singing, music, nothing was working for me anymore. And I was just in this constant state of despair. So I started doing this mantra repetition. And after, you know, many hours that day and then the next day and then weeks and then months, and it was through this practice that I was completely healed, completely lifted out of this deep state of despair. So I say that mantra saved my life, and it's true. It is something that actually saved my life. And it didn't just pull me out of this despair. It filled me with the feeling that I was so desperately looking all over planet Earth for, you know, and it's all of the spiritual teachings that all of us read from every teacher from all over the world. What do they always say? It's found within. Well, what if you don't know how to find it within? What if you don't know what that tool is? So for me, that's what mantra is. It's actually a tool. It's like giving you a shovel so that you can go internally and you can actually dig, and you can actually dig until you find that pot of gold. So that's what that is. It's this beautiful, beautiful sacred tool to help you dig and find that so that you can actually reach that well. And I did.
Tina, we called that beautiful thought, creating sound mind, sound body, that magic of the magic of mantra practice. We're here today with Tina Malia. We'll be back in a few moments.
The cutting edge of conscious radio, Om Times Radio, IOM FM.
Om Times Magazine is one of the leading online content providers of positivity, wellness, and personal empowerment. A philanthropic organization, their net proceeds are funneled to support worldwide charity initiatives via Humanity Healing International. Through their commitment to creating community and providing conscious content, they aspire to uplift humanity on a global scale. Connect at omtimes.com. Om Times, creating a more conscious lifestyle.
Hello, I'm Lisa Berry. Join me every Monday at 1 p.m. Eastern Time for Light on Living, a chance to see new, hear different, and feel more as I shine the spotlight on all the ways to lighten the load of life's challenges. Light on Living is your link to that new way you're looking for, that new understanding that will enhance your life, and that positive connection that will support your growth. So join me, and you'll gain insight and start to see things in a new way that motivates you.
With happy clients all over the world, Kara Johnstad knows that your voice is the missing link to more authenticity, abundance, creativity, and health. An internationally acclaimed voice expert, Kara's breakthrough methods have helped thousands of people successfully heal their voice wounds and extinguish the story of self-doubt and shyness forever. Join in group trainings, attend online sessions, schedule one-on-one time, and invite Kara to work with your organization and community. Get started today. Go to www.karajohnstad.com and receive a special guided meditation designed to fine-tune your inner voice and welcome you on the voice journey.
Hi, this is recording artist and composer Yuval Ron, inviting you to a voyage through the chakras, a new double album of guided meditations to transform your life, a sublime musical medicine for nourishing inner peace and reaching to your higher virtues. Get it now at metamindfulnessmusic.com, M-E-T-T-A, mindfulnessmusic.com.
Why was the basketball court all wet? Because the players kept dribbling on it.
The dad joke. Corny, groan-worthy, but also one of the simplest ways to share a moment with your kids.
What did the buffalo say when he dropped his son off for school?
Bye, son.
So take a moment to make your kid laugh, because dad jokes rule. Make your kid laugh today. Go to fatherhood.gov. Brought to you by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services and the Ad Council.
Welcome back to Voice Rising. I have with me in studio today Tina Malia, and we are talking about mantra, sound consciousness, and the power of voice to transform our lives. So Tina, your story before the break, it deeply touched me that I had to think of the word sound mind, sound body, making a sound decision, how sound literally can start to get every single cell in our heart and our mind, you know, vibrating and in harmony. So that's, I just thought it was very precious how you spoke about being in a dark night of the soul and having not only singing, but the practice of Japa mantra help to heal you, make you whole.
Oh, yes. And it's I still do it every day. I do it. It's become a tried and true friend more than anything else. And it just is a way, it's the only way actually that really brings me into a place of centeredness, of calm, of peace. And like I was saying before the break, even more than all of those, it's great to feel calm. It's great to feel at peace, but it's even better to feel completely filled to the brim with the deepest sensation of love that you've looked for your whole life on earth. And that's what this practice has brought me. So what more can you ask for than that?
Exactly. So Anahata is the title of your newest album, and it's also the fourth chakra of the seven main chakras, right? Located directly in the heart, a Sanskrit word. I found it interesting that Anahata means also unstruck, unbeaten, unhurt. It reminded me of a song from long ago, Unbreak My Heart, that place where the heart is innocent and full of abundant love. Why did you choose to name the album Anahata? What does it mean to you?
Exactly. I think you just said it even better than I would have said it.
Good team.
It's exactly that. It's that sense of purity of the heart. Just the sense of purity. And like you said, unstruck before it's touched and tarnished, just how we are in our true nature.
Beautiful. I'd like to play a piece off of the Anahata album called Mula Mantra. Would you like to share a few words before we go into that title?
This is a really beautiful mantra, and it's really for calming. It's a real calming and bringing a sense of peace. And as all of these mantras, the point of all of them, as you will start to study a bit about them, is just kind of this return to an end of suffering. That's kind of just this theme that goes through, that runs through all of them, is different angles to come to the end of suffering. So that's the point of this one, is not the point, but that's one of the practices of it.
Beautiful. Mula Mantra by Tina Malia.
Sachidananda Parabrahma.
The Mula Mantra by Tina Malia, and Tina is with us here in studio today. So Tina, you're speaking a lot, or you're sharing with us very much exactly what I wanted to ask you actually. This, you know, the world can be harsh at times. We have some challenges that we need to face as part of just being on the earth, being human, and it's very natural for us to close down in order to survive. And yet the album, it talks really about living with that wide open heart. And so I was just curious, do you have a daily ritual? Maybe even, you know, I know you know you're going to have the daily ritual, of course, of mantra, that helps you stay with that open heart in that beautiful presence that you have, even though the fires are burning, even though we're facing a lot of challenges as a humanity also and personally.
Well, I hate to be a broken record. You know, as I mentioned in the beginning of this interview, so Dayutal is the person who gave me this mantra and my daily practice. And his teacher was Neem Karoli Baba. So this was Neem Karoli Baba's pretty much his only teaching. You know, he would just say, chant Ram. He didn't have books. He didn't have discourses. And he would say that all of your questions will be answered there. And, you know, like I said, having had this practice now for many years, I can say that that it's very true for me as well, that it actually stops all the questions and it kind of stops all of the searching for everything else, because they say that mantra is another form of silence. So it's bringing this feeling of silence to everything. So yes, you're absolutely right. The world is crazy right now. And I feel like what it does is it gives this, you know, I use this example of a well a lot because that's what it feels like. So it's, you know, if your being is like this lake, you know, it's a lake and you have this internal source of this beautiful, pure water. Now, everything else that is, I don't know where I'm going with this metafor. I should have thought it through before I dove into it.
Go.
No pun intended. You know, if you had this big empty vessel and it's not filled at all with any water, let's just say, since we're using the water metaphor, then whatever comes along, you know, you can dump dirty water into it or whatever it is, and that's what it's going to hold. But if you have this internal source of this pure water, then if it's filled to the brim, that's what it's going to be filled with, and you can walk around the world with that fullness, I guess is what I'm trying to say. And it's its own form of protection. So So it's this sense. Now, I'm not perfect. I would just like to say that this is all, you know, I'm also very human and go through all of my human things. But mm-hmm. I do feel like it's this, it's a form of protection, and it's a protection of love. I don't know how better to explain it than that, for me personally. And it is walking with this knowledge that all of these things are happening, and of course, doing our best to help, to change, to fight when necessary, but with this sense of fullness and this sense of peace. And I think that's an important, I think that's really important, you know, especially for those of us that do care about the planet and the animals and the trees and the waters and the air, that we have an ability to refill ourselves constantly, because if we can't do that, then, you know, we're screwed. Sorry.
I mean, I think you said that beautifully. Yeah.
Thank you.
No, and I mean, also the thing is that our bodies are 80% or 90% water, and we are breathing in the air, right? So we also have that stardust in our bodies. So I think I've spoken about that often too, is that we do have choices that we get to make, and we do absorb frequency into that water. So that idea of the fresh water well, the wellspring, which is literally where we get the word wellness, right? From this well and this wellspring, mm-hmm. that we do have the choice to create that high vibrational field, to feed ourselves not only the news and the newspapers and the worries and the pain, which are apparent, and I'm not saying at all to, you know, rise above it, but to be part of it, to be in it. But I also believe very much that sound is a protective force if we use it wisely. It's also a force that can hurt us if we don't use it wisely, right? But it is a powerful medicine. A very, very powerful medicine. Are there any mantras or, you know, people are starting out. We know that many people, you know, use Om. Oops, we're going to go into a break, Tina. I'm not watching the clock. I'm getting carried away. Just stay tuned. stay tuned. We're gonna go into a break. We'll be back with Tina Malia talking about sound, mantras, meditation, and all those good things.
Conscious lifestyle to your world. Om Times Radio. IOM FM.
Ascending Hearts is no ordinary dating site, but a spiritual dating site with a purpose, to link you with your soulmate. We engineer the serendipity so you can trust that you will attune with someone that has the same matching vibration as you. Ascending Hearts, the conscious dating site for the spiritually aware. Try Ascending Hearts for free. AscendingHearts.com.
My name is Victor Furman. Some call me The Voice. I've always been fascinated with human nature, spirituality, science, and the crossroads at which they meet. Join me Wednesdays at 8 p.m. Eastern on Om Times Radio, and we'll explore these topics and so much more on Destination Unlimited.
Hi, this is New Age Grammy winner Paul Avgerinos. Thanks for listening to Om Times Radio, and please support my peaceful healing music with a purchase at iTunes, Amazon, or wherever you shop for fine music. Just put my name into the search engine, Paul Avgerinos. A, V like Victor, G like George, E-R-I-N-O-S. You can also visit me at roundskymusic.com. Thanks for listening, and I'm wishing you the brightest of blessings.
Imagine being fired because of who you love. Imagine being denied medical treatment because of who you marry. Imagine being evicted because of who you are. Millions of Americans don't have to imagine this. They have to live it. because in 31 states, it's legal to discriminate against LGBT people. Get the facts at beyondido.org, brought to you by the Gill Foundation and the Ad Council.
We are back with singer-songwriter Tina Malia, and wow, it's just a beautiful journey to be here with you today. And I'd like to, maybe you know this, Francis from Assisi is attributed to saying that to sing is to pray twice. Do you feel that singing is a prayer?
Chills.
Powerful medicine. Yeah, to sing is to pray twice. And yeah, it sounds like that is the intent, or that is a space of singing that we are experiencing when we are listening to your music, and that we all have within ourselves. What are your thoughts on singing? And
absolutely, no, I'm completely on board with that. I, you know, and it's a choice too. Of course, you can sing anything you want to, and if you, what I have found, and that's why I've dedicated my life this direction, is when you choose to use your voice to sing prayers in whatever mm-hmm. language you choose to, or even if it's humming, if it really has that prayerful quality to it. What do we mean by prayerful? Well, everything from, you know, gratitude, a sense of gratitude, a sense of healing, hope, all of these feelings, that when there's that intention behind it, sometimes the sound itself creates that. You don't even have to do it with your mind. The sound itself can be so beautiful that it actually stops the mind and brings those feelings and qualities to you. Right. But I do find that when there's that intention, and again, that's why I love chanting mantra and I love doing sacred music and conscious music, it, like you were talking about earlier, it does create this vibrational field. We are made of water. It does literally tune the water in our bodies to those frequencies. It's a real scientific fact.
Exactly. A scientific
amazing.
Fact. I'd like to play Hey Ma Durga for this scientific moment. Hey Ma Durga off of the Anahata album. Tell me a little bit about Hey Ma Durga before we go into this track.
This is just in celebration of the Great Mother of compassion, of fierce compassion.
Fierce compassion. I love it. Here's Hey Ma Durga off of the Anahata album.
Karuna Sagari Ma. Karuna Sagari Ma. Thank you.
That was Hey Ma Durga off of the Anahata album by Tina Malia, who's lucky us. She's with us in studio. Tina, share with us your secrets. What are some of your holistic practices and mindsets that keep you so vibrantly present?
I'll share with you all of my secrets, Kara. Anything you want to know.
Yes. Yes.
I don't have a lot, honestly. My first and foremost, I've already shared. So my second secret, I think the most important thing is diet. Mm-hmm. I find that my body, my vessel is very, very sensitive to everything I put into it. And it took me a long time to figure that out. And mm-hmm. we really are not taught that in the West, how what we eat not only affects our physical health, but really affects our mental health almost first and foremost. So I'm very careful with that. I mean, I'm not like, what's the word I'm looking for?
Fanatic.
I'm not a fanatic, yes. but I'm very aware of what I put into my body, everything from, mm-hmm. you know, I mean, I'm vegetarian, but I don't like, again, I'm not a fanatic, but I have found also, you know, for my own personal reasons that I want to do that, but also that it's any foods that are very heavy really create a heavy mindset for me as well, mm-hmm. create a heaviness in my body, everything, you know, caffeine. I'm just very mm-hmm. conscious of what I do so that I like to stay in a state of, I don't know, purity is not necessarily the word I'm looking for, but in a state of well-being, like you were saying before. So that's a very important one for me, is health. I love cooking. I love food. I love medicinal foods. So that's kind of my mm-hmm. my mm-hmm. secret life. A lot of people kind of joke with me that they know me as a cook, actually. Not even, they're like, the world thinks you're a singer, but actually you're a cook. I love doing art. I'm very, very into art. So anything that has to do with art, and I love the earth. So I do woodworking. I have all these kind of separate art projects, and they are really what keep me healthy. I have to see the world as art. And if I can approach any problem as art, then I can solve it having a really great time. So that's kind
Beautiful.
Of how I approach everything in life.
So what is your sadhana or your practice look like when you get really busy, when you're on tour, when you get so busy, what do you make sure that you get done so that you can stay in balance with all your things going on?
Well, you know, it's that broken record again for me, because after so many years of ram, exactly, of doing japa meditation, you know, like I was saying earlier in that story, it for the first few weeks it didn't have a lot of effect on me, and then after months and after years, now it's something that if I get a little frazzled and I feel myself get frazzled, all I have to do is just, you know, put myself in time out mm-hmm. and close my eyes and touch into that well, to that very now well-trodden well of mine, that well-trodden path of that practice. And within moments, I'm really right there again. I do my practice when I'm really busy, okay, we're talking, I'm really busy running mm-hmm. around the world until I feel that well refilling again. And then once I feel filled, I'm like, okay, back to work. And I can kind of go back to what I'm doing. But that is what keeps me together in every part of my life.
Yeah, I think many people don't realize that music really, it anchors itself everywhere in our body and in our memory. So the more you practice, it can be that it takes only 30 seconds or 10 minutes to just tap in. You don't need that long, long practice, right? I think, not to say that we don't enjoy long practicing, but many people are afraid, I think, to start a practice because they think, I don't have the time. But actually, every moment that you spend in that practice of sound and japa mantras and chanting and music or even creativity is nurturing you and staying in your memory and your body forever, forever and ever. It's pretty phenomenal. Tina, what's a good internet address that your listeners can go to find more about your concerts and retreats and buy some music and connect with you?
Just tinamalia.com, TINAMALIA.com.
Okay, now think about this. How can we use the power of voice to heal humanity?
How much more time do we have?
Hey, 6 minutes or five. I thought I'd leave that big one for the end.
Well, yeah. You know, I guess I'm going to lump my answer into what you were just saying, because I wanted to say something about that, about the time. I've started giving workshops. I never meant to give workshops. I always only meant to be a singer and a performer. But through this last few years, people have asked me to start giving workshops on all these things that I talk about, because I love them so much. It's something I love and I really believe in. So one of the things I start people with is just to put a timer on for 10 minutes. That's it. Mm-hmm. 10-minute practice per day. Everyone has 10 minutes, you know. So anyone who says they're too busy, just put a timer on your phone and pick something easy, you know, pick something you resonate with. And whether it's you're using your voice internally, because the practice I do is actually silent, but I'm still hear the word internally. So I think it's still effective as a sound vibration. So internally, or you can do it externally, or like you said, you know, doing music, whether it's chanting or some sort of practice like that, that really intentionally focuses the mind for that time frame. And I find that all solutions to our problems can come within those few moments, because actually within those moments, we realize that a lot of things that we think are problems are not actually problems. They're just the mind being allowed to run loose. And the mind is not always our friend. It likes to tell us all kinds of things that are not true, and things that are important that aren't really important. And so giving yourself that time and that practice, it changes you. It really does. It changes how we see things. It changes how you see yourself. It changes how you see the world. It brings a sense of peace and calm to all situations. And you learn how, and again, I'm not perfect. I would just like to point out, just so we're clear, that it at least gives you that tool so that when the very intense challenges of life come up, you can remember this place because you've given yourself that time, 10 minutes a day, to go there. And you're like, oh, I remember this. Okay, I have a choice either to act violently or stay in this pit of sadness forever, or I can return to this place that I remember that I've been practicing every single day. Because after doing it, again, like we're saying, 10 minutes a day even, what happens is you start to become familiar with that place. So it's like a room in your house and that you forgot you had. You can go into that room and you can then remember that you have that room. So you have the choice. Which room am I going to go into? Oh, actually, today I'm going to choose that one. And I feel that that is the start to a greater healing of the planet, in a sense, because it's all internal. I mean, how can we heal anything external without healing it internally? It's impossible. I mean, maybe it's not impossible, but certainly it's going to take all of us returning to that place, remembering love, remembering compassion, remembering empathy. And it's so easy to point the finger at other people.
Exactly. It's going to take all of us. We have the choice. Yes. We have the choice. Let's do it. Or as a dear friend of mine said, let's did it. Thank you, Tina, so much for being with me today here at Voice Rising, the wonderful, prolific, open-hearted singer-songwriter Tina Malia. I hope that you will come back and grace the show again with your presence.
Thank you so much, Kara. Thank you, everyone.